Do you want to ride your bike, or do you want to learn how to train so you can really ride your bike?
It's all about building fitness. Get your legs spinning and get your heart pumping. It's not about training what you're good at. It's about training what you're not good at. They'll want to know what you've been doing for the last few months because you'll be kicking their ass. This is exactly how you get ahead. This is exactly how you get stronger. I'm giving you the tools you need to be a beast on two wheels. If you do the things I'm talking about, you'll be stronger, you'll be fitter, you'll be faster, and everyone around you will notice the difference. This is Tailwind Coaching, and you're listening to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. Okay, welcome everybody back to another edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. I am your host, Coach Rob, and I've got a good show for you today. Today we're going to talk about choosing a power meter. A really, really expensive investment in terms of your cycling fitness and improvement, and you're going to want a few tips so that you can actually pick the right model for you, taking into account a few considerations about what you really need out of a power meter. But first, I'm going to go over a couple of quick announcements. Number one, as many of you have seen, there were some changes to the homepage at tailwind-coaching.com very recently. That was due to a server migration and a few other things, general a facelift and things like that. So if you find anything that is not working properly, make sure you get a hold of me. Email me at coachrobdc@gmail.com or shoot me a message on Facebook from the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page or on Twitter at coachrobdc. A couple other things to mention. With the new website, up on the menu bar, there's a little bar called sponsors. Those sponsors are guys that throw me a few shekels every time you buy something through one of those links. And that's what helps keep the Tailwind Coaching Podcast free and available to everybody. As I said, I don't get paid for the podcast information. I do it just because I do like to get the information out there. I love to watch people enjoy riding their bikes. And who doesn't enjoy riding their bike even more when they're really, really good at it and really strong? So sponsors up there, RoadID. RoadID speaks when you are unable to. If some motorist happens to find a carcass laying in the ditch, they'll be able to identify it as yours, assuming the worst had happened on a ride. So head on over there and pick up a RoadID. They have wrist, they have ankle, they have shoe, they have dog tags. They even have RoadIDs for pets. So if you got a pet that you let outside, that's a good way to support a cycling-friendly company as well as get your pets a little bit of security. I want to thank the Sufferfest. Dave McQuillan over there at the Sufferfest, way down under. Poor guys are suffering through the winter right now, and they've got some excellent videos to help pass the time on the trainer. They just came out with a new video. We're focusing on skills and form, and they also have a couple other good videos out there. One of my personal favorites is Hell Hath No Fury, and Angel's another one of my particular favorites. It sounds odd that I'm recommending these being a coach. However, they fit very, very nicely into my modular training plans, especially on those weekend days when you need a little bit more work, a little bit more intensity, and you're just not interested in sitting staring at Oprah on TV anymore. Not that I expect any of my listeners are staring at Oprah, but that's beside the point. U.S. Wellness Meats, no hormones, no antibiotics, no crap, just good old-fashioned pure protein. Good stuff out there. I've ordered a number of their products. They're very, very good, so head on over to U.S. Wellness Meats and pick up some good steaks or something like that. Finish out your late summer barbecues in fashion. And then the Bulletproof Executive, Dave Asprey over at the Bulletproof Exec, very interested in improving performance through all kinds of means. Some really good products over there in terms of nutritional supplements and other things to help you maximize your sleep, your fitness, and your recovery. So head on over to the Bulletproof Exec and check out what they've got available. As I mentioned, you can find all the information for this podcast, the website, the blog, the show notes receptacle is at tailwind-coaching.com. And just click on Tailwind Coaching Podcast and you'll find a record of every podcast that I have done. You can also contact me, coachrobdc@gmail.com, or if you head over to the website, take a look at the upper right corner. There is a Contact Me panel, and that's got a whole bunch of different ways to get a hold of me, from Strava to iTunes to Stitcher to Podbean to Blueberry, and of course the typical stuff, email, Facebook, Twitter, and RSS. For consults, for information on coaching, I have a couple of coaching spots available for the coming off season. I got a couple of contracts that are expiring, so I've got a few people who are coming, a few spots available for people who are willing to come on board or wanting to come on board and get some one-on-one coaching. If you want that, or if you want a consult, shoot me an email at coachrobdc@gmail.com and we'll get that taken care of. My consults are all finished. also want to point out, the new training plan support is going swimmingly well. I've got a number of people who are doing very, very well with that. They're very, very much liking the updates and the accessibility of having coach in their ear. Go ahead on over to iTunes. If you're listening to this on iTunes, thank you. I appreciate that. Go ahead on over and rate this podcast 5 stars and leave a reason why. If you're on the website, or if you're on tailwind-coaching.com, you're listening through Stitcher or anything else, head on over to the website, and I'll have a link to this podcast on iTunes. The higher I get rated, the more people are able to see this, the more people that are able to see it, the more information gets out there, and the more people are able to enjoy their riding, which is an awesome, awesome thing. Those of you who are loyal listeners of the podcast will know that all my modular training plans are available. Up here in the States and in the Northern Hemisphere, you're going to be getting ready for the winter months coming soon, so it's never too early to think about your base time, your build time. Man, just thinking about the winter here is just depressing, man. It's a really miserable thought. You're never too early to start thinking about your base building, your build time, planning your season, etc., etc. Head on over to the tailwind-coaching.com page. You can click on the downloadable training plans and you can pick up my modular training plans. Base, build, peak, climbing, cyclocross if you're into that, criterium racing, and there will be a few other surprises coming during the winter, so keep an eye out for that. Loyal listeners here of the podcast will remember podcast 10 as a discount code will knock 10% off your entire purchase, so keep that in mind as well. All right. Hey, got all of the announcements out of the way in a much quicker fashion today instead of rambling. Fantastic stuff. We're going to talk about power meters. What do you need to know to choose a power meter? If you're in the market for one, if you're considering starting racing, or if you just want to get fitter, stronger, and faster in a little bit less time, and you're willing to do some of the work, then you may be looking at a power meter. But there's a lot of options out there. In fact, with Interbike coming here in the next week or so, this is being recorded on Tuesday, September 9th, with Interbike here coming in the next week or so, there'll be even some more power meter information out there. So be that as it may, we're going to do this right now. We're going to talk about what you need to know to choose the proper power meter for you, the pros and cons of different kinds of meters, and basically what a power meter does, right after a real quick break. Okay, choosing a power meter. What exactly is a power meter? Well, a lot of people have this preconceived notion that a power meter is some kind of fancy voodoo material or machine. Very simply, a power meter is a piece of equipment, whether it be a crank arm, whether it be a hub, whether it be a crank spider, whether it be a pedal. But it is a piece of equipment that has a set of strain gauges embedded in it. Now, for the non-engineer inclined, a strain gauge is simply a circuit which will deform under load or under force. All right, so think of a rubber band, and I happen to have one on my desk right now as I'm doing this. Think of a rubber band here. If you have a rubber band and it's at its resting length, that would be considered zero stress. If you stretch it out a little bit, That would be maybe 25% stress. If you stretch it out as far as it'll go without it breaking, that would be 100% stress. All right. Now, the best visual for this is for you to grab a rubber band here and sort of grab it at, you know, opposite ends. Now, you can see if you pull that rubber band, all right, and you stretch it out, you can see how it deforms, how it gets longer, how the actual band itself gets a little bit thinner as it stretches out. It's the same concept as a strain gauge, basically. However, a strain gauge, like I said, is a circuit, so a circuit has current flowing through it. Well, interestingly enough, the deformation in that strain gauge circuit actually changes the circuit's resistance, okay? And that change in resistance is absolutely key. That, with some, well, with a lot of, I wanted to say, with some simple algorithms, it's really not simple, with a lot of very complex mathematical equations and some good electronics, you can actually measure the resistance change in that circuit. And by measuring the resistance change in that circuit, you can determine, through some kind of mathematical modeling, the amount of force necessary to cause that resistance, and thereby the amount of force caused to require that deformation in the circuit. Okay? So basically, what you have is you have a circuit which changes resistance based on the amount of force you put in, and a lot of mathematical mumbo-jumbo that actually converts that information into the amount of power you had to push to deform that circuit physically. Clear as mud? Exactly. The long and the short of it is, a power meter uses a strain gauge as a tool to measure output. And I do mean energy output. I mean power to pedals or cassette or chain rings or whatever the case may be, whatever kind of meter you're using. This is exceptionally different from a, say, a heart rate monitor, which is a measure of input, which is a measure of how hard your body is working to produce energy or produce that force. It's not the amount of force that you're putting out, but it's the amount of energy you're using to produce the force you're putting out. So that needs to be made very clear. And that indeed is what makes a power meter so sought after, because it is independent of all sorts of outside variables. It's independent of temperature, hopefully. It's independent of hydration status, of general fatigue. It's independent of sleep status. It's independent of you having a cup of coffee in the morning, like I'm going to do right now. It's independent of a lot of different things. So keep in mind, and I've said previously in podcasts and in posts on tailwind-coaching.com, that heart rate is one of those things that is a measure of input. It is modified or changed by your hydration status, by your sleep status, etc., etc. So that's all stuff you need to take into account when training with heart rate. Not so with a power meter. The only problem with a power meter, I mean, it sounds really good, right? But the only problem is, of course, the ridiculous expense of a power meter. Granted, they've been around for a while. They are coming down in price. However, they are still significantly more expensive than a heart rate monitor. All right, you can buy a Polar heart rate monitor for like $50, $60, maybe $70, something like that. You can even find cheaper ones for $20 to $25, although I don't recommend those. Those things tend to be hunks of junk, but that's beside the point as well. Power meter, you're looking at a minimum of $700 if you're buying new. And if you're buying used, you might be able to find something in the neighborhood of $500 or so. Now, interestingly enough, and I'm going to cover this right now, there is something called the Cyclops PowerCal. I don't know if it's under the PowerTap name anymore, because PowerTap and Cyclops has basically moved their power meter production to a completely different brand name called PowerTap, which was the model name of their units when they were Cyclops. But for the sake of argument, let's call it the Cyclops PowerCal. These can be had for about $75 to $100, and they're a heart rate monitor which will transmit power. How does that work? Well, it uses a very generalized algorithm to convert your heart rate and your heart rate changes into power readings, which can be read on any ANT device. Is it accurate? Well, over the long term, most of the testing that I have seen, over the course of, say, a three-hour workout or a three-hour ride, yes, it seems to be accurate in the long term, especially for metrics like normalized power, average power, things like that. Is it accurate for very short intervals like zone 6 and zone 7 efforts? Absolutely not. There is a significant lag in heart rate. There's a significant lag in heart rate. That's the word I'm looking for here. I just randomly drew a blank. Heart rate lags significantly behind effort in terms of short, high-intensity efforts. So by that nature, it's impossible for the power cal to keep up. However, if you're looking to train with power and you don't mind shelling out $75 for something that's pretty generalized, it's not a bad tool to have. If you're looking for a true power meter, steer clear of it. Put that $100 into savings and build on it to get yourself an actual power meter a little ways down the line. But what do we need to consider in terms of how we pick, how we choose, what kind of power meter we want or need? Well, I go by a couple of different parameters. Number one, how difficult, or installation difficulty, I'm going to call this, how difficult is it to install the power meter the first time? How sensitive is it to installation? Does installation affect the actual output readings? Is it flat out difficult to install? Do you need special tools to install it? Do you need to take apart an entire bottom bracket? Do you need to release it into a rear wheel, for example? Something like that might be off-putting unless you're willing to have a shop build a wheel around a power tap hub, which, by the way, is what most people do. Most people don't build their own wheels anymore, but that's, again, beside the point. How sensitive that power meter is to installation. If it's installed incorrectly, will it give you errant readings? Garmin Vector, I'm looking at you. Special tools. Are you able to take apart a crankset and bottom bracket? Are you able to remove a bottom bracket or a crankset to change from, say, a Shimano bottom bracket to a SRAM bottom bracket or an FSA or something like that? Well, bad example. FSA and Shimano are compatible, but you get the idea. So that is something to definitely keep in mind. Portability. Now, this is also related to installation difficulty, but I know more than one of my listeners out there, all five of you. No, I'm just kidding. More than one of my listeners out there has multiple bikes. So if you are only in the market for one power meter, but you want to move it from bike to bike, say, for example, you have a training bike and a racing bike. By nature, you're not training on the racing bike generally, and you're not racing on the training bike generally. So if you want to have power on both of those, you have a couple options. One, you can buy two power meters, which is generally out of reach of most people. Or you can look at the portability of power meters on the market right now. Portability simply means the ability to take that power meter and move it from bike to bike. All right, and I tie it into installation difficulty because the two really go hand in hand. Are you going to be able to just basically remove an entire crank set or just swap a wheel? Because there's a huge difference between the two of them. All right. that's another thing to keep in mind for sure. And obviously, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, even though I'm going to go through this in detail, I'm going to say PowerTap and stages are going to win the portability argument every time. Next, we get to accuracy and repeatability, which are really two different things if you look at them from a scientific standpoint. Accuracy is how close to truly reading the amount of power you're putting out is it? Okay, so if your body is putting out 200 watts, how close is that power meter to reading 200 watts? Is it within a few percentage points? Generally, most power meters out there claim an accuracy of plus or minus 2%. All right, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen a lot of variation in that. There are a few cases where with temperature compensations, I've seen upwards of maybe 5-6%. But that's not, I wouldn't consider that something inherently a flaw in the reporting of power as much as I would in the compensatory circuits and the algorithms used. basically all those power meters on the market are going to give you a reading, which is generally accurate as far as you know, unless you're using two or three different power meters, in which case you may actually want to compare them to each other. The biggest question here in terms of a power meter accuracy or repeatability is in fact that repeatability side of things. I don't really care how accurate a power meter is, all right? If my meter is telling me, say my quark is telling me I'm putting out 500 watts, I know that's not necessarily correct, especially if I'm cruising around. If it's repeatable and it puts out 1500 watts when I get out of the saddle to climb and goes right back to 500 watts while I'm cruising, at least if it's repeatable, it's a usable tool, all right? Let me repeat that. Even if it's repeatable, but not accurate, it is still a useful tool. And this argument comes in very, very often when you have the one-sided power meters, like the Stages, the Garmin Vector S, I think it's called, which is the new release from Garmin, and presumably the Rotor Power left-sided model. I don't know what it's called because it hasn't actually really been released yet, for that matter. But those models, even if they're not very accurate, i.e. they take one leg's worth of power, at least if they're repeatable, you can use it effectively as a training tool. So that's something to keep in mind, all right, is the repeatability of such a model. And that's where things like temperature compensation, etc., really come into play, making sure that that data is repeatable across an entire day's riding, no matter where you may go with it, all right? Next thing to consider, we're going to consider the placement of the actual power meter itself. Where is it? You have a variety of places you can actually put a power meter. I'm not going to cover a couple of the older ones, which were the Polar Wind model, which measured chain tension, and I'm not sure how it did it, but it did. It wasn't very good. I'm not going to mention the iBike Pro, whatever it is, Einstein Newton Model 3, whatever the hell it is, because that measures basically movement vectors and altitude changes, wind speeds, and things like that. So it's an indirect power measurement. And I'm not going to cover things like the old Ergomo bottom bracket power meter, which has basically gone the way of the dinosaur. Great concept, just didn't quite work. Anyway, currently on the market, you have a pedal placement, which measures forces generally into the pedal spindle itself. Very often you're measuring both sides independently and then merging them together. So the plus that a lot of people claim with the pedal-based power meter is the ability to filter out non-tangential forces or forces that don't contribute to forward movement on the bike. So in theory, you may be getting a cleaner signal. I cannot honestly see a lot of value in that. As a coach, as a scientist, I don't see a whole lot of value in that. Power is power going into the bike, and wasted power is what it is. Perhaps if they can refine the software enough, you can use that non-tangential force information to try and make yourself a little bit smoother and a little bit more efficient, but I'm not entirely sure on that. Let's see. It generally has the least loss for drivetrain losses. Now, and a quick note about that. Drivetrain losses in a power meter and measuring in a power meter are basically slim to none. They're negligible. But people will tell you less drivetrain loss out of any power meter out there is going to be a pedal-based power meter. It's closest to your legs. So take that with a grain of salt as you will. You got crank arm placement, which measures the deflection in the crank arm itself. I mentioned Stages being left-sided only. It basically assumes that the right is the same, which I can tell you is almost never the case, but refer to my discussion on accuracy and repeatability. Remember, if it is repeatable, it's still a useful tool, even if it's not 100% accurate. All right, and the quick discussion here is that nobody, and I do mean nobody, is symmetrical in their pedaling. There's no such thing as a 50-50 split all the time. So that is why people will say that the left-sided or one-sided placement is a little bit rough. Crank spider seems to be the most common placement, at least for the higher-end models. talking like Quark or SRM, things like that. Power 2 Max also, but that's a little bit cheaper. Not necessarily in quality, but in price. Measures deflection of the crank spider by the forces put through it between the chain and chain rings and the actual pedal force on the crank arms. Again, there's a little bit of drivetrain loss in this kind of setup, but nothing major. And finally, we have the single model power tap works on the rear hub, and it measures a deflection of the strain gauges inside the hub due to the torque on the free hub. Typically, we'll have the most loss in drivetrain, but again, it's negligible as long as it's repeatable. That's fine. But it has a couple of other advantages, which we'll go over very, very shortly here. The final thing we consider is cost of a power meter. And this is almost always the limiting factor with most people. Cost is huge because you can have a cost and ranging anywhere between $700 all the way up to almost $3,000 or more for a like a Campagnolo based SRM. So there's a huge number of options and a huge spread of those. And hopefully there'll be a few more in the coming weeks here. But bearing those few things in mind, bearing those five, call it four and a half, because portability and installation difficulty are basically the same, those four and a half things in mind, we're going to go through pros and cons of each kind of power meter. And I'm going to try to list these in terms of price from cheapest to most expensive. All right. Here we are back. We're going to go through pros and cons of each kind of power meter, starting at the bottom end of the cost spectrum. And of course, that one's going to be taken by stages. Now, stages is a little bit of a misnomer here in terms of being the bottom end of the spectrum. And I'll tell you why it's a little bit of a misnomer. It's a bit of a misnomer because there are so many models of the stages power meter, and they vary anywhere between $700 and about $1,000. So it's at the same time, the cheapest and not the cheapest. So just keep that in mind. It's based on what kind of crank arm you are putting it on. But the pros for this kind of, the stages meter, and by the way, stages obviously sponsoring Team Sky. A lot of people will go on that kind of information. Well, the pro team rides it, so it's got to be good. Well, yeah, not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. I remember a few years ago, there was a pro team who rode Microshift components, and Microshift components are basically garbage, but that's my opinion, and having ridden them and seen them, yeah, they're kind of crappy, but nevertheless, I digress here. Stages, sponsoring Team Sky, obviously. Stages is basically, I'm going to say it's the cheapest because the lower-end models are the cheapest, and in some cases, the lower-end model's the only one you can get. SRAM, I'm looking at you. SRAM Rival is the only SRAM-based road power meter from Stages because all of the other crank arms are carbon. So that's a bit of an issue. Anyway, cheapest, it is relatively accurate power meter. It seems to match up relatively well with other power meters. Remember, though, it is for the left leg only, so that accuracy is a little bit in question. It is absolutely one of the easiest to install. All right. Basically, you only need either a pedal wrench or an 8mm wrench to remove a pedal, and then an 8mm Allen wrench to remove the actual crank arm itself. So not only is it simple to install, it's incredibly easy to swap from bike to bike, especially if you have the same set of pedals on two different bikes. So for example, you have two sets of look pedals, pull the whole crank arm off, just throw it on the other bike, and you got power going with you. I will be perfectly honest that I use one of these, and I've had a great, great run with them. And that portability is actually a really, really cool thing. Now imagine you are thinking of taking a trip somewhere, and you're going to be renting a bike. Well, you can always call ahead and say, bro, I need a bike with SRAM, with a SRAM crank on it. Throw your Stages crank arm in your suitcase, and guess what? You can train with power even on vacation. Oh, what a concept. It's a cool concept, actually. Downsides of that Stages power meter, it is left leg power only. So remember that you're not going to get a full picture here, especially if you have a left leg, right leg dominance issue, which generally most people are within 5% of each other. Well, the one leg is within 5% of the other, so there won't be a whole lot of issue there. Another downside, there are a limited variety of crank arms available. Crank arms have to be metal because they have a predictable deflection characteristic, whereas carbon has some variable deflection characteristics, and that deflection is built into the algorithms modeling the power output. And of course, there's the well-known fact that the goddamn stages eats batteries like crazy. They are CR2032s, so they're pretty common batteries. But let me tell you buy a stages, and I'll be honest, I didn't see this fixed in any of the recent firmware updates, but if you buy a stages, expect to buy a 4-pack of those batteries with it, and expect to use that pack within a season. All right, I'm on, I think, 5 batteries for a season with that thing, and it's somewhat aggravating. The plus side is if you're out on the road and your power meter decides to crap out, usually your heart rate monitor has the same battery, that same CR2032, and you can just make a quick swap out of that. So at least you always have a spare one. You won't have a heart rate monitor, but who really cares? You're training with power anyway. I sound like a commercial. Anyway, upsides and downsides of the stages. You're talking about between $700 and $1,000, starting at about $700 for the SRAM Rival model. Really, really good price. Pretty good power meter for the price. Next up, we got PowerTap. PowerTap is not sponsoring any pro teams that I'm aware of. They used to sponsor Vacances Soleil. Vacances Soleil has been gone for 2 years, 3 years now. And they were the last ones to be sponsored by PowerTap. PowerTap, the G3 models have been brought down in price, so they are somewhere in the neighborhood of $800, give or take. They are very accurate models. I've had one for quite a number of years, and they're pretty easy to install, with the caveat of you're not building the wheel yourself. If you're building a wheel yourself, forget about it. This is probably the hardest thing to install because you need to properly tension spokes, you need to get the right lengths, you need to lace a wheel, etc. It's a pain in the ass. You buy a PowerTap wheel, or you have the hub built into a wheel set by a shop, it is remarkably easy to install. It's as simple as taking a wheel out of the bike, putting a new one in. And of course, by that same nature, it's very easy to swap from bike to bike. Just switch wheels. The biggest downside of a PowerTap is that it is 100% unequivocally limited to the wheel it's built into. All right? That is a huge problem if you have multiple wheel sets. A lot of people have a clincher training set, and then they have like a carbon tubular racing set. I know I've got, you know, multiple sets of clinchers, multiple sets of carbon tubulars in different depths. So the bottom line problem here is if I have a PowerTap, I'm limited to one wheel set if I want to train with power. And should I want to race with power, forget about it. If I flat that wheel and have to take a neutral support, no more power. And that's a bit of a problem. So that's one of the biggest issues with PowerTaps. The other issue is it has a more significant weight penalty compared to some of the other ones. Now, I'm not going to say it's a significant weight penalty because, well, the G3 models are actually pretty svelte. The older models are a little bit porky, but the G3 models are pretty svelte, and they only maybe, at worst, will add 100 grams to your bike. So that's pretty solid for a reasonably priced power meter. They're relatively bomb-proof. They don't seem to have any issues with water or anything like that, which is a good thing. They do have a tendency to have the torque tube fail, but you're talking 3-4 years out of a power meter, and that's relatively good for a very precision piece of equipment. All right. Power 2 Max. Crank-based. Actually, it's not crank-based. It's crank-spider-based. Sponsoring the Movistar Professional Cycling Team. Decently priced, seems to be anywhere in the neighborhood of $800 to $1,100, depending on the crank arms themselves. It's relatively accurate and seems to be much better, has much better repeatability after they have very publicly fixed the temperature compensation circuitry in that mod, in that in that power meter. Have another cup of coffee, man. You need another one. Okay, I think I might have another one, Rob. Well, sure. Fixing the temperature compensation was a rather public move that they made, and they made it very well known so that they would be more accurate and more repeatable and more reliable. Really is the cheapest crank or crank spider-based unit, and from what I understand, it does give simulated left and right power. Now, I've not tested the Power 2 Max. I've done a fair amount of research on it and reading on it. it does not, for a con, it does not come with chain rings. Okay. That could be a huge downside, especially when you consider some chain rings run you $200 a set. So you could suddenly take an $800-$900 power meter and suddenly make it anywhere to $1,000 to $1,100 just with a set of chain rings. And of course, if you want to put on crappy chain rings, then why would you do that if you're spending all that money? I mean, honestly, really. On the other downsides, it can be a little bit fiddly to install. Really, you have to be able to install a crankset, and that includes installing a bottom bracket. So if you're not comfortable doing that, it may be difficult to install yourself, and it may be difficult or impossible to swap from bike to bike, so that hurts its portability quite a bit. Customer service and support is a little bit iffy, and it's not iffy because it's a if it's bad, it's only iffy because the market penetration of Power 2 Max, at least here in the United States, is pretty slim. So it's kind of iffy what kind of support you're going to get if it's a very small customer base and a very small customer service department. Stages in PowerTap, I really have no comment on the customer service. They've been fine when I've needed them. I guess they've existed when I've not. So be that as it may. Next one, we got Garmin Vector. Garmin's interesting, and I'm going to lump two of these together. I'm going to lump the Vector S, which I believe it's called, as the left-sided power meter that was just released at Eurobike, and the what I'm going to call the full Vector altogether here. The Vector left side is expandable to the full Vector system, so you can actually purchase the piggyback pedal and have true left and right power and a full Vector system. If you're not able to afford it at the time, you can always expand. That's kind of a cool option. I like that option. The Vector can be accurate, and this is a huge asterisk, if it is installed correctly. And that is a huge if. And along the same lines, it is somewhat portable to other bikes based on the installation. The full Vector itself gives you true left and right power, and again, supposedly can filter out those non-tangential forces, and can supposedly give you something akin to the spin scan on the there's a trainer out there, and it's the name is escaping my mind actually right now. it'll probably come to me sometime, but it'll give you something akin to a spin scan, which will tell you where you're applying forces throughout the pedal stroke. Downsides? Well, also, the customer service for Garmin tends to be pretty good. I can say that as I had to have a Garmin 500 replaced under warranty, and they actually had it to me in 2 days, which is fantastic. Downsides? For the left-sided model, it's a little bit pricey compared to the stages, assuming you're talking about a lower-end stages model. I believe the pricing on the Vector S was around $900 to $1,000 for the single-sided unit, whereas you're talking it's about $700 to $1,000 for a stages unit to begin with. The Vector itself is about $1,500, $1,600. So you're in the neighborhood of a Quark or a almost into the neighborhood of a Pioneer, to be honest with you. So that is kind of pricey compared to some of the other ones out there. And you can really buy two stages for the price of one Vector if you're looking at it that way. The biggest complaint people have about the Garmin Vector is it is difficult to move from bike to bike, and that is because it is very, very sensitive to the installation. Improperly installing the Vector means poor accuracy and poor repeatability, and it requires very specific torque values to install properly because it has those dumb little sending pods that dangle off of your crank arm. Honestly, the Vector is a pointless exercise to me personally. There's some people who love it. They love Garmin products. They like the Expedo pedal. That's nice. It's not Expedo. It's I can't remember who does their pedal now. XUStar, that's who it is. They like the XUStar pedal. It is Look Kyo compatible. And on the downside, it's only Look Kyo compatible. All right, there was talk of making it available for things like a speed play pedal, but nothing as of yet. So, downsides to that. The biggest one being, though, if it's not installed properly, you're screwed on the accuracy and repeatability front. And not to mention, it's a pain in the balls to swap from bike to bike. Needs a torque wrench to really do it properly, and you can toss an extra $100 in for a torque wrench. So it becomes a very expensive proposition. Moving right along and talking about pedal-based power meters, the Expedo units, I think they're called the Thrust E units, just released, really, at Eurobike. Don't know a whole lot about them right now. I expect in the next few days we'll hear a bit more from Interbike, but we don't know much about them right now. I know they're priced about $1,100, so they undercut the Vector significantly. And supposedly they are much less sensitive to installation issues, as there's no pods that have to be installed. It's all contained in the pedals themselves. And they tend to give you true left and right power, supposedly. Again, supposedly. So that's all we know on the Expedo units. Moving along here, we've got... and by the way, the Vector, obviously, the Garmin Vector is sponsoring the Garmin Sharp Pro Team. Quark, division of SRAM right now, and actually sponsoring Omega Pharma Quickstep, soon to be Etix Quickstep next year, I think. Pretty accurate. I have not had any issues with accuracy in my units. Even better with recent thermal compensation firmware upgrades. So the repeatability doesn't really suffer much as you change temperatures. Pretty relatively easy to install. I mean, you have to install a crank, and you have to remove a bottom bracket if you're using a magnet, a bottom bracket ring magnet, or you have to glue a magnet to your frame. That's actually recently changed. In fact, as I was reading this morning, a new firmware update to existing Quark Red and Elsa and Riken units allows it to use the accelerometers in the unit itself to give you cadence and instead of relying on the magnet. So it makes it easier to install. Does come, calculates left and right power based on your software, and I will say it's excellent customer service. I've had to use it now 4 times, which gets me to things that I'm not so keen on them for. The older models were prone to water failures. I went through 3 of the Saturn model Quarks, the old Cinco Saturns. I went through 3 of those from water damage. And I'm not talking like a deluge pouring rain. I'm talking about it was a little misty. I ran through a puddle and my power meter stopped working. thing I can say is their customer service was great. In fact, their customer service now knows me by name and now understands that overnight shipping is an absolute must. In all fairness, I did destroy a Mercury model Quark as well. I destroyed my first red model Quark, blew the strain gauge on it. It's interesting when you're warming up and suddenly you see 35,000 watts and then the power meter stops working. Yeah. Anyway, customer service, absolutely fantastic with them. They are pretty much no questions asked. And, you know, after the third Cinquo upgrade or third Cinquo damaged, they upgraded me without charge to the Mercury model, which was fantastic. Good guys over there. These power meters can be a little bit expensive. The red model goes for up to $2,000. The Elsa and the Riken and some of those are a little bit cheaper. there were occasional odd temperature fluctuation issues, but that seems to have been fixed right now. And again, they require installation of a whole crank set if you're moving it from bike to bike or if you're installing it yourself. And that could include the bottom bracket. So if you don't have the tools, that's something to consider. Also something to consider was until recently, they did not have any really new Shimano compatible cranksets. That changed at Eurobike with the 4-bolt cranksets, 4-bolt power meters coming out for the Shimano 4-bolt chain rings. So you can have a Quark that actually somewhat matches your Shimano drivetrain. All right, moving right along here, we've got Pioneer Power Meters. These guys are a little bit new on the scene, but they are sponsoring Team Belkin. They have some really big pluses in terms of the back-end software and hardware, in terms of they record ridiculous data points and metrics in a very, very small, very unobtrusive unit. All right, this thing bolts onto the crankset and inner ring somehow. I'm not exactly sure how, because I have not been able to, you know, really fiddle with one. But it's a really small unit. And there is a unit on the opposite crank arm. So it gives you the true left and right power. And the computer has absolutely the most metrics I've ever seen out of anything on the market today. The computer is absolutely fantastic, if not a little overkill. So that's a huge pro. Downsides, it is expensive. You're talking between $1,800 and $2,000. It's Shimano only, Ultegra and Dura Ace only at this point. So that makes it a little bit difficult. Supposedly, the installation is recommended to be done by a dealer of these units. So it's tough to do yourself, if not impossible, and thereby a little bit difficult to move from bike to bike. Not much info out there on these yet. They're just getting into hands of testers and things like that. So still a little bit of an enigma and an unknown, but looking very, very, very promising for the tech head who wants it all. And finally, the top of the heap, we have SRM. And SRM sponsors a bucket load of teams, from Lotto Bellisol to IIM Cycling. I'm trying to think of the other pro teams in the Peloton. Tinkoff Saxo. some of the guys on Sky actually still use SRM units. Katusha uses SRM units. Basically, anybody who I did not mention above is using an SRM. It's considered the gold standard in terms of accuracy and reliability and repeatability. Supposedly, it is the most accurate, within 1.5% or so. Ridiculously durable. There are wired SRM units that are 10 years old, which act like brand new pieces. Track units, road units, you name it, they act like brand new parts, which is awesome. Customer support is fantastic for SRM. They are just great. And honestly, they are the only Campagnolo power meter out there. But that comes at a price. And it comes with a price for any SRM unit. If you're not going used, these things are outrageously expensive. Expect to spend above $2,000 easy on these. And I've seen reports that some of the Campy Super Record models go for about $4,000. That's insane. You can actually buy a bike for the cost of one of those. Every couple of years, you got to send them in for service. The battery is hardwired in there. It's soldered in there, so it has to be sent back for service. Yes, there's videos out there of being able to change the battery on your own. I wouldn't do that unless I absolutely had to. Service is like $100 every 2 years. They calibrate the unit, they put a new battery in it, they check it for any damage. Perfect. All right. The only other downside is if you choose to go with their power control or PC unit, it's outrageously expensive. The new PC8, which has GPS in it, is talked about being about $850 for a computer. Yes, it gives you a crap ton of metrics, and yes, it's a really, really good solid unit. Aluminum case, and they almost never die. But that's really expensive. So unless you're finding it used, that may not even be an option. All right. Whew. That's an awful lot of information to cover. I'm going to rest my voice for a second, and I'll be right back to wrap up and tell you what my personal choice for a power meter would be. All right. Welcome on back. My personal choice for a power meter. If I was in the market for a power meter today, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not. I've been in the market before, and I've gone through the options before. Granted, there's a lot more now than there was when I was looking for my power meters, but I'm going to start with a recreational guy. A guy who is a recreational cyclist, somebody who rides a couple of days a week, maybe 3 days a week, is simply looking to improve their fitness so that they can do Grand Fondos or Centuries or things like that. All right. We're talking about the guy who has a wife, has a family, has a house to take care of, and has limited training time. All right. You don't need a huge amount of feature. You don't need a whole lot of bells and whistles. All right. One important thing to take note here. I left head units for the most part out of the discussion. I'm assuming that a head unit is something that's very personal. Most people are using Garmin units, and that's fine. I left head units out of the discussion because that's an additional cost with any of these power meters. So don't think that I'm ignoring that. But for somebody who doesn't need a whole lot of bells and whistles, they don't need a left-right spin scan comparison like a Pioneer unit offers. They don't need the bling-bling and indestructibility of a SRM. I mean, they don't even really need, they don't even need the left-right and ultra-light weight of a Garmin Vector. I'm giving you two options here. For the recreational cyclist, I would say, one, if you have no intention of swapping wheels, i.e. you're not planning on doing any kind of racing, and you don't expect to swap wheels ever again, go with a PowerTap. PowerTap is comparatively dirt cheap. It is comparatively indestructible. All right? And it is, honestly, probably one of the easiest to swap from bike to bike to bike, i.e. if you buy a new bike in the future, as many recreational cyclists are wont to do as the new technology comes out or as they decide that they need something a little bit better, you can take it with you very easily. There are no considerations of, well, does this match my drivetrain? Does this fit in the drivetrain? Is it a BB30 and I'm getting a standard, non-press fit, regular old Shimano crankset bottom bracket, whatever. Go with a PowerTap. It's probably the most versatile with the exception of switching wheels. If you are a guy who anticipates racing or anticipates changing wheels, say for example you're old school or you're just stubborn like I am, and you love the feel of your tubulars, but you refuse to ride those on early season, gravelly, nasty, salted roads, go with the Stages. Stages is probably the lightest out of any of them. It's the most unobtrusive out of any of them. And it allows you the flexibility of swapping wheels at any time. The only problem is it locks you into one specific crank arm, one specific brand of crank arm, should you decide to choose a different bike, a different drivetrain, etc., etc. In terms of portability, if you do buy another bike, it's relatively easy to move. Or if you have another bike that you want to ride specifically, say you have a climbing bike for those really big, crazy climbing days, like in the mountains, it's easy to swap back and forth. The other plus is if you travel a lot or you anticipate traveling a lot on cycling vacations, go with the Stages. And that'll apply to anybody, whether you're a racer or a recreational cyclist, although most racers will take their bikes with them. So, not interested in swapping wheels, go with the PowerTap. Interested in swapping wheels, go with the Stages. I will be honest with you. I have a Stages on my racing bike. It works phenomenally well. It's easy to work on. It's easy to replace the battery. It's easy to update the firmware through the Stages app on the iPhone, on my iPhone, your Android, whatever. I love the Stages. I think it's a great unit. I think the left side only thing is a wash. So I went with it. I recommend you do too. Or the PowerTap. If you are a racer, all right, and you're going to drill down into your data using WKO 3 or 4 or whenever the hell 4 comes out, I don't expect it to ever come out the way they work, Golden Cheetah or any of the others, all right, it behooves you to actually have as much information as possible if you care. If you're getting a coach, as much information as possible is very helpful, all right? In that case, my recommendation, and again, the one that I went with, all things considered, would be Quark. Quark is reasonably priced comparatively. Calculated left and right power. Very reliable, at least the Mercury units are. The new models are very reliable. And plenty of data points. All right. And again, use a replaceable battery, which is huge. CR2032 battery, which is huge. If it goes out on you, you can use your heart rate monitor battery as well. All right. I chose it because it was the best complement of price, features, durability, and it did match the rest of my drivetrain for that matter. So that was a small consideration. Granted, I did not have the selection on the market that those of you who are listening right now do. I don't know. At this point, I may choose an Expedo pedal system. I haven't seen it on test. I have no idea how reliable it is. I have no idea how accurate it is. Sounds good. Keep it in mind. For those of you who have all the money in the world to spend, just go buy yourself an SRM. Don't even dick around with the rest of it. Don't even mess around with the rest of it. Just go buy an SRM and be done with it. But remember that no matter what power meter you choose, all right, if you are a recreational cyclist, if you're a Grand Fondo rider, if you're just a club cyclist, if you're an amateur racer, if you're a Cat 1 racer, remember, a power meter is just a tool. A power meter itself does not make you better. It gives you the ability to make yourself better, assuming you can take that data and use that data properly. You'll be able to become a better, stronger, and faster cyclist. All right. I hope that information has helped out those of you who are considering a power meter purchase in the near future. If you have any questions, comments, or thoughts about this, do not hesitate to post them on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. Do not hesitate to visit the show notes and comment on the show notes at tailwind-coaching.com. And don't hesitate to email me with questions or comments at coachrobdc@gmail.com or on Twitter at coachrobdc. All right. Keep all of this stuff in mind when you're going to purchase something new. All right. I want you to keep the shiny side up. I want you to keep the rubber side down. I want you to keep plodding along and build your strength, build your fitness, and do it with your new shiny power meter. I want you to be well, and I'm going to talk to you all very, very soon.